Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is, wherever you're hearing this, it's Becky Brown, obviously, it's not Steve, and I'm so glad to be with you today. I want you to join us, so give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. We'll be taking your calls for a couple hours, and I know you have things on your mind and on your heart that we can help you with, and by we, I mean Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jim, how you doing today?
Becky, great to see you, and great to be with you, and I love the New Life listening audience. They're just great, great people. It's been so fun for me to get to hang out.
Me too. Well, we want to hear from you today, Jim, too, because you have so much wisdom where adult sons and daughters are concerned. You know, we thought we were done parenting when they left the house, but sometimes that is not the case. And we get so many calls from parents who are having difficulty with their adult sons and daughters. And, you know, one of the things that I've heard is to be a student of your adult child's culture. What in the world does that mean? And how do we do it?
Well, you know, Becky, I think that's one of the shocks when our kids become adults and they start acting, and I'm putting quotes. You can't see this. Maybe you can see it on YouTube.
I can see
quotes because they're saying, but I'm an adult. And you go, wait, I'm still paying for your cell phone. I'm still, you know, helping you with gas. I'm doing insurance. I'm paying for your car.
Right.
and what happens a lot of times is when they become adults, parents haven't studied the culture in which they live in. And I always say to parents, you know, learn what a millennial, you know, understands and lives like. Learn what a Gen Z, which would be 24 and under, lives like. And so student of the culture means they grew up in a very different culture than you and I did. And for example, there's some distinctives. One distinctive is that they view tolerance as a sign of loving. So you might have a different, maybe have a biblical worldview and your kids have changed their biblical, their worldview, and they want you to be more tolerant of, you know, a host of things, or it could even be, you know, political or whatever it might be. And so, you know, sometimes as parents, when we understand the world in which they're living in and the influences that they have. So I always said, even when kids were younger, I would say, you know, what kind of music are they listening to? What are they reading? Who's influencing them? Who are their heroes and mentors? And I think we continue to do that when they're adults, and we'll understand them better. It doesn't mean we have to agree. We might have to agree to disagree. But that's being a student of the culture and so much more. You know, we have to understand their social media and, you know, all the rest.
Well, you know, one of the things, when I was a student, I had a really hard time keeping my mouth shut. And sometimes that happens as I am parenting or not parenting anymore. How can we, as parents of adult sons and daughters, learn to keep our mouth shut? Like, when do you say
the hardest
something?
Thing ever.
That's right.
Well, it is.
Jill can see this because she's sitting next to me. I have scars on my tongue, you see.
Oh, my gosh.
I've had to learn
I blow it all the time.
I've had to learn to bite my tongue. You know, one of my principles in my book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, which is keep your mouth shut and the welcome mat out, is unsolicited advice is usually taken as criticism. And I just don't understand that. I mean, you know, people pay me to give them advice. I mean, I'm on the radio giving somebody advice. And yet the truth is my kids are like, if I give them advice that's unsolicited, what they see it as, Becky, is that I don't trust them that they're all grown up. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that at all. I just want to help out. So I've learned I have to sometimes ask for permission, and that does a lot better. And I'm, you know, pretty good at that, but not totally good if you ask my kids. I'm still doing it sometimes.
Well, and you know, they're not paying you for anything, Jim.
No.
So, I mean,
no,
if anything,
we're paying them.
No, I'm still buying dinners. When does this change?
Exactly. Well, you know, there's hope, and we want to help people with that connection with their adult sons and daughters and families, and staying connected as a family. It's so important. We're going to be taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000. Maybe this is one of the things that you're challenged with, is maybe there's been a disruption in your relationship with your son or daughter, or maybe even your parent. You know, we can help. Jim is an expert in this area, and Jill as well. And even if you got something else on your mind, we want to help you. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And Jim mentioned in that first segment, if you are watching us on YouTube, and I just want to say hello to our YouTube family, and I want you to like and share and subscribe to New Life Live because it makes a difference in getting the word out. Right now, we are going to take a call from Lisa, who's calling us from San Francisco, listens on KFAX. Hi, Lisa. I'm glad you called. How can we help you today?
Hi. My question for you today is, I've been struggling in a blended family marriage for 12 years, and my kids won't come around anymore. They're adults, young adults. They don't want to come around anymore because the stepdaughter continues to go on social media and post things about our family, especially me, and her dislike for me and her dislike for my daughter. So at what point do you end the marriage?
Oh, wow, that's a big...
Wow, that is a... Yeah.
That's a big reaction, Lisa. And let's go ahead, finish your call, or finish your question.
The marriage is just surviving. It's not thriving.
I'm so sorry. Well, let's hear from Jill and Jim. What do you guys think is a good direction for Lisa?
You know, in remarriage situations, it is difficult because the kids were there first. And blending takes a long time. I mean, you're at 12 years. I always say it takes at least 8 or more to blend a family. But, okay, I know we're just getting a snapshot of this, Lisa, and you've been living this, but we're going from, you know, post, not nice post, to do I end the marriage? So I'm wondering what your husband has done to step in with his daughter.
At first, he was very angry about it, and told her it was wrong. Now he's supporting her and agreeing that, you know, there was issues between her and I years ago when she first started posting, and that was never resolved. There was never any resolve over 16 years ago of the similar, and he sides with her. He also has a grandson now. So,
how old is this girl, Lisa?
27.
She's 27 and she's doing this posting. Okay. Yeah, because it sounds, I mean, I'm just, it's interesting that that is her, perhaps her only outlet for her upset. And you're right, things should have been addressed a long time ago. So I'm wondering about, you know, family counseling, everybody getting in the same room. Let's hash this out. There needs to be other opportunities so that it's not leaking out in public.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Jim?
Well, I agree with Jill. I don't think it's too late to have that conversation. Now, it may not go well, but I think, you know, we have to put on our big girl pants and our big boy pants and have those kinds of conversations. And sometimes it's not for you, Lisa, even though let's pretend that you're, well, on this, she shouldn't be so, you know, posting social media, period, on that. But let's say that you're 85% in the right and she's, you know, only 15%. But maybe this is the time for you to hear whatever is causing this. And if there's any way possible, you can say, you know what, I am sorry about that, you know, so many years ago, you know, that did happen. And so you're putting the defense off because, you know, if she's being defensive and you're being defensive and you do the tit for tat, that's not going to work. It's not now, you know, the question you have to ask is, do you want to you know, win the argument or do you want to improve the relationship? And sometimes to improve the relationship, we just have to sit and listen and take it, even though it's really tough. I'm not saying you do that. I'm just saying you do that within a safe place, and that's why I believe in a moderator, whether that be a counselor, which I think is a great idea.
Right.
Sometimes it's a pastor, but I wouldn't have just, like, say, for example, your husband in on that. I mean, he can be in on it, but he shouldn't be moderating it. It should be somebody from the outside who's not emotionally involved. So that's my shot.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Yeah. I definitely didn't mean for all of you to get in and have a war over this. But I think, Lisa, whether the marriage survives or not, I think that this is an important step because as much as it is possible, remember, from our side of things, we need to repair and mend, even if not all can be resolved. And I think that's important. Versus, okay, we're just at an impasse, and so we just leave, right? That isn't a way to do relationship, right? There needs to be some attempts to work it out.
How does that sound, Lisa? Does that sound doable, or have you tried that before?
We've tried it before. I'm willing to do it one more time with her and ask the question of her, how is she going to repair it with the other kids in the family?
Well, I think first you have to hear her. First you have to hear her and repair things with you and her. Then you can move on to the rest of the family.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, the other thing is in this, and again, it's sometimes a process.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find that in a blended family, sometimes if you can somehow love on that new grandchild, you know, that melts away some of these things. And I know that's hard, but you mentioned that your husband, you know, has a new grandchild. But if you could somehow show some love even to the grandchild, you know, that actually may melt the mom's heart. I know many times where it starts because not going even the, like what we just said, the strong set, but all of a sudden you start showing love to the grandchild. How old is the grandchild?
6 months.
Yeah, 6 months. So, you know, a little baby, but at the same time, you know, if, you know, step grandma, if you would, no grandchild thinks they're step, you know.
She has told me that she doesn't want me to have anything to do with.
Yeah, so you got a tough
thing. It's really tough, Lisa. Yeah. You know, I'm wondering, too, and maybe even backing up a step, and you and your husband get in and do some work together, because if you guys aren't even on the same page in terms of wanting to repair things, then that's a problem.
Right.
And it sounds like this daughter, and some kids do this, just create a wedge in new marriages until they're destroyed, right?
Well, and you know what, Lisa, I hear your pain as well. And even if everybody else doesn't want to do any work on reconciliation, I want you to do your own healing work so that you are feeling heard and not in a reactive state, because I think that that's, you guys have all been so reactive with each other, and it's not good, but I don't know that that's a good decision to end the marriage. You know, like, there's a lot of other steps in between, like Jill and Jim have said. Mm-hmm. I think, what would be a good book for...
this has been going on for a year.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But you've been married 16, and so I think that there's hope, and she's obviously got some stuff that she needs to be heard on, as well as you, but it's not hopeless at this point, and I think that's the challenge.
Right.
But I think it would be helpful for you to get some help. What book do you guys recommend?
Take Your Life Back? Doing Life with Your Adult Children?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do Jim's book. Yeah, we're going to send you a copy of Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And Lisa, if you need help finding a counselor, we can get you connected that way too, because we've got people all over the country that help in situations like this. And we're glad you called today. We'll be praying for that situation. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Karen, who's calling us from Baltimore, listens on WAVA. Hi, Karen. I'm glad you're here today. How can we help you?
Yes, hello. I was just calling because my question is how I would be best to raise my teenagers. I'll briefly explain if that's all right.
Sure.
I was brought up Church of God, very strict. In 1987, I was married, very young, and I had a daughter, but I divorced. In that situation, it was a church wedding, but my husband actually was not a Christian, so I left the church. At the time that my daughter was about 13, I went back to church, and I remarried in the church a pastor's son who, again, he told me he wasn't sold out for God, so it wasn't God's will, but I married him anyway in the year of 2000, and I have four children from him. So I have teenagers that are 14, 16, 18, and 21. But anyway, in the fall of 2015, I found that he was involved in several affairs. And so at the time, I was devastated and very, very upset to the point where I was thinking about taking my life, but I didn't. But I didn't. But I told my oldest son, who at the time was 14 or 15. So just to briefly let you know, in 2018, my husband left and went to stay at an apartment, and that oldest son went with him and held it against me that I was going to take my life because he said I made him so upset. But anyway, I just want to share with you that since then, my son did come back at the age of 19. My husband, he still comes over to the house every day, provides for us and the children, but he continues these affairs, and he even goes to church. And I have not been with him. I won't be with him because he has no repentance, no remorse. Mm. But anyway, I did go to court in 2018. I was going to get divorced, but I got in front of the magistrate, and I kind of lost my nerve because I thought it was a sin to divorce, so I didn't divorce. Mm-hmm. But again, I won't be with him. But what I want to do is I want to know how to raise my teenagers, because they have all blamed me in my emotional state, and because I fight with them, I argue with them, and they've kind of taken his side, and it breaks my heart. I'm teaching them the right way, and they seem to be living the right way. We still have devotions and all. I just don't know the direction to take.
Okay. All right, Karen. Gosh, it's been a really rough situation for you. Jim, let's start with you, and we'll go to Jill.
Karen, you got a tough situation because you're having to deal with the infidelity of your husband, and you're taking on the major role of raising your kids, and yet at the same time, it sounds like your husband, he may not be husband of the year, but he sounds like he does provide for the kids and, you know, is in relationship. I find that a lot of times in a blended family, I'm curious to see what Jill's going to say on this too, but I think a lot of times in a blended family, the responsible person, and you're the responsible person, sometimes becomes the person who has to be the dictator and the rule giver and you know, push, and you know, that makes you no fun. And you know, then the other person's kind of the Disneyland dad or the Disneyland mom, in this case, you know, potentially the Disneyland dad. You know, so I think with your kids, they want relationship with you that goes beyond just talking about the issues and the intensity and things like that. So whenever you can, take a deep breath and have some serious fun with them. I mean, it sounds crazy that that's one answer, but I find that sometimes there is a breakthrough, not with the intensity of a conversation, but there's a breakthrough when they maybe have closed spirits and their spirit is opened up when they, you know, when they play with you, when they enjoy things. And teenagers still do that. I mean, they still want a relation. They want a relationship with you that goes beyond some of the intensity that you've been living. And and I also don't think, and again, I don't hear you, I hope you're not doing this all the time still, and I'm so sorry for your pain and even thinking about, you know, killing yourself. But when a child hears that, that is a really tough thing on them because they love you. And so you put a burden on them, not meaning to, but you put a burden on them. And so now it's time to kind of unburden them and say, you know what, I don't feel that is not the case. And in fact, let's go out and have some, you know, let's go have a milkshake or whatever together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can hear the music, Karen. We're going to come back after the break and we'll talk more about this. You know, it is when we have been on a difficult journey for so long, the wear and tear is a lot on us. And, you know, I would encourage you along this way of just finding healing for you. they're pretty much, I mean, you're pretty much done raising them. That's the hard part of these ages that you have. But, gosh, we're glad you called today. We're still taking calls for the next hour and a half. We want others to call. We're going to get back with Karen after this break. But if you're struggling with something, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000, and we will help you. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking to Karen, and she's got really a difficult situation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not like she's not the only one that has a difficult situation. And so one of the things we already talked about is, you know, finding a counselor. We've got them all across the country. So if you need help, you can give us a call. But, Jill, I want to hear what you have for Karen.
Karen, again, our heart goes out to you. This is such a difficult situation. And the ages of your kids, I think, are some of the most difficult ages, especially when you have a family that is dysfunctional, in a sense. I mean, you guys function, but this is not the way it's supposed to be, right? Dad mm-hmm. does not get to have a family and have mistresses on the side. That really isn't the way it's supposed to work. And right? And so in some ways, because that's being allowed, I think, and this may be perpetuated by Dad, there's some devaluing of you. And when you are the person that is more emotionally laden or more in touch with your feelings, and the other person is the one that's acting out, you can easily be made into the scapegoat for the family. And unfortunately, your kids are following where the money is and where the strength mm-hmm. is, to not be on the receiving end probably of Dad's wrath. So all that being said, I think for you, Karen, it's understandable that in all the emotionality of what you've gone through, that some of that is going to leak out onto the kids. That's mm-hmm. normal. It can't be helped. Some is okay. But if it's like Jim was saying, if too much has leaked out on the kids, then you have to own that. And it's really important that you take your emotions somewhere else, to other mm-hmm. adults, to friends, to a pastor, to a counselor, so that you can have some strength. So when you're with your kids, so that's really important. And you want to be able to contain their emotion, right? If your mm-hmm. emotion is taking up all of the space, then where do they get to be emotional? So some of their resentment might be, we have to take care of Mom. And that mm-hmm. isn't the way it's supposed to be. Mom, it's okay to say, Mom's having a hard time, but I can still take care of you, right? Mm-hmm. Or, yes, I struggle, but it's not your responsibility to fix me. And in fact, it's okay if you have different opinions of our situation than I do, right? Mm-hmm. That you understand that they're not going to want to choose between their parents, regardless of what anyone has done. And so this is not a competition to try to win them to one side or the other, and that you realize their position is really difficult. And in mm-hmm. that, in them perhaps not wanting to be emotional like you, they may be doing other things, right, to act out their pain. And I think that it's important to offer them counseling if they want it, right? You can't mm-hmm. make them go unless they're really acting out, but that you're still their mom, and so you're still going to have appropriate boundaries for them, and you're going to be concerned if you see their lives kind of spiraling.
Very good. Well, Karen, we're going to, if you'll hold on, we'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and we'll also get you connected with a counselor. I would encourage you to attend our Restore workshop that's going to be in the D.C. area mm-hmm. later this year, because I think that that's really the next step, is you've got to find that healing and that strength for yourself, because eventually these kids are all going to leave, and then, you know, you've got a whole other, stage of life. So, I hope that's something that we said today will help you. We're going to talk to Joshua, who's also calling us from Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hi, Joshua. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a sister, a younger sister. She's actually 44. She has a couple of kids. My wife and I have a couple of kids. About 3 years ago, she was divorced from her husband and started a relationship with a woman, and we think the relationship was going on before the divorce. And it's been very hard on my parents and my wife and I, and so we've wrestled with, you know, what do we do with this situation as far as family gatherings and things. And so we decided we'd continue to get together with them and try to show love and compassion as we think Jesus would want us to do, while still trying to tell our kids who are 9 and 6, hey, this is a lifestyle that is not God's plan, but we're still going to love these people. Back in May this year, my sister told us that her partner was going to go through a sex change, a gender transition. And for my wife and I, we wrestled with it for a couple of weeks and said, you know, I think based on the age of our kids, especially our six-year-old, we're going to have to take a step back from sort of engaging with them in family situations until we can kind of process it and figure how to relate this to our children. We've tried very hard to instill sort of a biblical view of gender and sexuality appropriate to their ages. And so, but it's just caused a lot of pain for all of us, especially my parents.
Understandable.
They really want us to be together.
Joshua, hold on. We've got a break coming up. Do you have a succinct question? We can be thinking about it during the break.
Sure. Just, are we doing the right thing by trying to shelter our kids from this at this age or not? Or should we just continue to engage with them?
Okay. All right. Well, we'll hold on and we'll take the break and then we'll get back with you with an answer. It is a common conversation. It's not, as unusual as you think, but we're glad you called and we'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you joined us. We are taking calls for a while, so you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. But right now, the call we are taking is from Joshua, and he has a pretty interesting situation, but not all uncommon. He's got a family member
common.
And family member who's going through some sex change and how to, you know, negotiate that connection with the family and his kids. So, I don't know, Joshua, did you have anything else that you wanted to add to your question? I think we got it.
No, just to clarify, it's my sister's partner who's starting this transition. And, I just think she's been... Her position is that we're not very tolerant about it, you know, and we have been very accepting the last 3 years of them in our family circle.
Well,
so this is the line.
That is interesting that they're saying you're not very tolerant, because understanding that you guys are Christians, I mean, we were kind of talking about, we're amazed at how well you have navigated this. And how you have tried to reflect, like, okay, what would Jesus Jesus do in this situation? And this is where sometimes I think, and Steve talks about this a lot, the double standard of acceptance only going in one direction. And I think it's important to ask for acceptance in your direction, that we love you and we want relationship, but we happen to think differently. And is there tolerance and room for our differences as well as yours?
Yeah.
Joshua, this is Jim, and Jill and I at the break decided that we're going to give you the New Life star for your lapel, because we think the way you and your wife have handled this is amazing.
It's amazing.
Because
yeah.
what's happened is you've shown them love.
Uh-huh.
And no, you don't have to agree. I mean, we don't agree with sometimes our spouses or our kids. But what you've done is you've modeled a role model of love to your children. And that's more important than anything else. And now with the sex change, you've said to your sister and her partner, you know what, we just need to think about this, okay? Mm-hmm. You didn't say we reject you, we shun you, because that's not going to work. You're going to be with them. Becky said this at the break. We were talking about you behind your back here, buddy. but Becky said, you know, they're going to be around for a long time, possibly. What I find sometimes in situations like this is that if you're showing love, then you're a safe person to them. You don't have mm-hmm. to agree. And if you're a safe person, let's say this relationship doesn't work. A lot of times it doesn't. And even people making a transition, it doesn't work so well. You're the safe person for them. Now, here's the thing about sex education. I'm thinking about your kids, because I want to focus on your kids for a minute. That's my background more. All studies show this, okay? And this is fascinating, because this is both liberal and conservative. But they say the more positive sex education that's value-centered and positive to your kids, the less confused they'll be. See. So what you're going to say is, hey, this is how they live and this is how we live. And so it's not that, but it's this. So you're not even putting them down. We're going to still show love to them, but this is how we live. Now, again, at their age, they can't communicate. I mean, you have a 6-year-old. That's not going to, you know, totally be understandable.
Right.
At the same time, very quickly, your 6-year-old is going to get stuff at school and other places where they're going to hear this kind of stuff. So you want to be the dominant, you know, sex education giver to them. And again, it's not easy because we probably didn't get it at home. And so, you know, from our parents, so it's awkward. And we're like, oh my gosh, do we really talk about this? Yeah, you do. And now you talk to them as a 6-year-old. So it has to be.
Well, right. And kids don't have as many hang-ups about things because they're learning it for the first time. Right. So we have to be careful. And I think, I'm not saying you're doing this, Joshua, but not to put our hang-ups and our discomforts onto our kids.
Right.
We need to, you know, sometimes you need to talk more clinically about things, just matter of fact, and then ask them what their questions
you're
are.
You're right, Jill, because sometimes as adults, we're like freaking out.
Oh, I know.
And then we say...
It turned into a pretzel,
practically,
exactly.
And
right?
then we say, you know what, honey, they have a different view than us, and here's what we believe, and they go, oh, okay, can I go out and play now?
Right,
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 exactly.
So it's not even that they're dealing with it as a 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
right.
you get the star, right. in my humble opinion, and Jill's, we talked about it. You get the New Life star today.
And Joshua, we're so glad you called. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love Our Kids as you're continuing to raise your kids. And we know that these are conversations that are going to continue to happen across the country and in families everywhere. And we want to equip you in the best way possible. We're so glad you called. We're going to continue to take calls. Before we do, we're going to talk to Larry Sonnenberg, who's in the studio with us. Hi, Larry.
Hey,
how
Becky.
You doing?
Doing well. You?
Good. Very good.
Well, there's a lot of energy in this room. It's fun to come in here when you guys
Larry,
are on
fire. Well, you brought the energy,
yeah.
Larry. You came in.
Well, we'll see. Well, Becky, I haven't heard the whole program, but you maybe have mentioned we've got 3 workshops coming. They're all virtual. They're all on Zoom 3 weeks in a row. And I want to talk about the first one that's going to come up, and that's Every Man's Battle. So it's a broken record here sometimes because we've got some very good testimonies, and it's a really good reason to support New Life so we can continue this this adventure in helping people find life change. And so here's a quick testimony. Maybe not so quick, but here we go. Several years ago, this is a man writing about his experience. Several years ago, I began due to being discovered by my then 16-year-old. Now, that's painful in itself. 16-year-old daughter. The journey towards sexual sobriety. After almost 4 years of solitary recovery with on-and-off counseling, I was drawn back into the darkness of porn, all while convincing myself that if I wasn't physically acting out, I was maintaining purity. one Saturday morning, as my wife and I, now married almost 27 years, lay in bed, she wondered aloud why our email was being hit with those impure spam emails, like they used to come in a few years back. The Holy Spirit was at work. I immediately confessed to her that it was likely due to the sites I had begun visiting again. It began a painful re-beginning of our relationship, one that seemed iffy at best. We talked, we cried, we argued, and threatened during those early days. I called New Life and registered for the Everyman's Battle Workshop. Since that time, I have built 38 months of continuous sobriety, real sobriety this time. And with time, counseling, and almost 3 years as a regular sustained Victory member, our relationship has become what we both envisioned in 1992 when we were married.
Wow.
I mean, wow. That's quite a story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's one that ends with a sense of redemption. And it's because somebody was vulnerable. Somebody shared what they didn't want to share. And we can help you understand why that's important. We can help you understand why you're running to sexual activity as your drug of choice.
Right. And it also shows when we try to just fix ourselves, right, in isolation, we don't do the best job.
It also shows that the truth always comes out.
Yes.
It always comes out. Whether it's a month or two or 5 or 10 or 20 years, it always comes out.
Yeah.
And so take care of it, guys. You can do this one-day workshop. It'll make a difference. There aren't a lot of hurdles you have to get through. Just call and sign up. You don't have to travel anywhere. You don't have to spend a weekend, a day off. Just come and be with us.
You know, this past weekend we did our intimacy and marriage workshop, and I heard from more than one man, probably 10 right off the top that I can think of, who said every man's battle changed their life for the better. And here is an easy day for you. Like, it's going to, you know, it's difficult to make the choice to change your life. But man, the pain that you're in right now because you're keeping secrets and not doing the thing, and it's just make the choice to call us and go to the workshop that day.
And Becky, I always remember the first online workshop we did, where at the first break we talked to the counselors and they said, "I can't believe how well these guys are connecting. How there's a bonding taking place, how they're being vulnerable, they're open, they're talking." So online or not online, you're going to get help. And you might even want to come back for a real one, a real live one after you attend the online one sometime.
And, you know, August is the month for our online workshops. We've got Every Man's Battle. We've got Courageous Parents, Transforming Relationships with Adult Sons and Daughters. We've already had a couple of calls about that. And Emotional Freedom. They are all online one day. You can find all the information at newlife.com, or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and we'll get you connected. It could be the day that will change the rest of your days, and we want to be there for it.
And it's why we ask you to support New Life financially, because lives are being changed. That's what keeps us motivated. That's what keeps us going. We see the Holy Spirit doing a number in ways that we even are astounded by, even though we see these amazing stories over and over again. Each one is special.
And your gifts right now are still continuing to be matched. So we're almost to the completion of that match. And we thank you if you've given. But if you haven't, there's still time to add to the match.
We're down to $53,000, and I think,
isn't that amazing?
I think somebody could make that gift in and of itself, but I know not everybody can, but I bet you there's one of you out there that could.
And it does make a difference. It changes people's lives, and we're just blessed to be part of that and to hear the testimonies of people all across the country and across the world. We hear those as well. But thank you, Club New Life, for being part of that giving family. But if you haven't given yet, it's not too late. You can give us a call. You can also go online and click it there. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're still taking your calls at 1-800-229. You're on the line. We don't want you to go anywhere. We can help you. But right now we're going to talk to Donna, who's calling us from Riverton, Wyoming, listens on Sirius XM. And we're glad you waited. Donna, how can we help you today?
Well, I called you guys about 6 months ago about my grandson, and his mom didn't want me talking to him. He's in juvie, I call it. And so I ended up getting him, I got custody of him, and I've had him now since then, since February. My life pretty much fell apart. My kids are all, three of them, ganging up on me. And my grandson's mother, she threw him out of the house because he went crazy. Because she let her boyfriend the belt and the belt buckle. And it's just been nothing but just chaos between us. And I can't get my kids to talk to me and understand that I'm not doing the wrong thing. I did not steal him. I didn't take him. But he had to have some place to go. And the reason I took him, I've done sacrifices. I lost my job. My best friend passed away. I almost lost my house. I had to go back over the road. And he's with me in the truck. They're just saying this is all on me, and it's not. I'm looking at his future. And if he goes into juvie or if he goes into a foster care or a group home, I know what he'll do. He'll run off. Mm. He'll end up in gangs, and he'll end up in jail or dead. And she doesn't want to hear me. She thinks I'm wrong. All three of them do.
Gosh, Donna, I'm so sorry.
I don't know how to talk to her.
Okay, well, you've got some great help here. Let's hear what Jill and Jim have to offer to help you with this. I'm so sorry you're going through this.
Mm-hmm. This sounds really tough, Donna. The mother is not your daughter, I take it?
Yeah, she is.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she is.
Grandson.
Okay.
She's 39, and she is my mother. She was addicted to drugs and alcohol for up to about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And all she does is yell and scream at her kids and ground them.
Okay.
Okay. Good mom.
And it was it an option for her to go back to him, or you just see that as a place that wouldn't be good for him?
I don't see where he's afraid of this boyfriend because he beat him with a belt more than 3 times.
Oh, okay.
And a belt buckle. He ended up in a mental hospital for a week, and we're going to court. Mm.
Okay.
You know, everybody, all my kids think this is all my fault.
Mm. Donna, okay. Who gave you custody?
Mm-hmm.
What, the court gave you custody?
State of Colorado did.
Okay. Yeah. And so they recognize that at this point, they believe that it's in the best interest of your grandson for him to be with you. Is that right?
Yeah, because... I don't think it's safe. I think this boyfriend of hers would probably just keep beating on him. I think he threatens the boyfriend because he's like 6'5", but, you know, he's still just he's a 14-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
The Colorado gave me custody, and I'm thinking I ought to just go and try to get permanent custody and just, I'm thinking about just, I really feel that my kids have all, they're all ganging up on me, and they say, well, this is on me. And I'm thinking just get permanent custody and just forget about talking to my daughter. And she's threatening me with not being able to see the other kids, which she's already done.
Well, the way you're describing it, it sounds...
in a bad spot.
Yeah, but the way you're describing it, it sounds almost simple. I mean, he was getting beaten by a boyfriend.
Right.
So, and yet, you also say that all three of your kids are saying this is not right. If you were able to, you know, kind of get past just the belt buckle, let's hear, why do the kids say it's that you're doing something wrong? I mean, it sounds kind of simple to me that I would want your grandson safe, but are they saying something else? Do they believe you took him? I'm unclear on that.
Well, my daughter, my grandson's mom threatened him for like over a year that she's going to send him away. And she finally did it. And she said, well, this isn't the way this is supposed to happen. I'm like, how much does a kid need to be punished? I mean, he just acted out because he's getting the crap knocked out of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're going through court and everything, and it's just like, if I have permanent custody, I don't have a problem with just not talking to her at all, but I'd like to.
Here's the thing, Donna. I think that there might be a period of separation that might be helpful. Mm-hmm. So that the temperature gets turned down a little bit and get focused on your grandson. It sounds like you're doing the right thing. I don't know that I would get into the permanent custody, but I would get some stability going.
Yeah, I agree. I would wait. I would wait on that to see how it goes for you and him. And does he do better in a more stable home? One would think so.
Right, he does.
You know, not even engaging your kids in the argument, and just say for now he needs to be in a safe and stable place, and I'm providing that. End of story. Right. And at 14, he has more choices. I mean, he could appeal to the court for where he wants to be, because they will listen to a 14-year-old. So.
And that's the reason why I mentioned the break in the conversation with you and your kids. Donna, you are doing a really good thing by bringing him in. But if there's still dissension and he's hearing all of that, that's not going to help him either. So it may be, it's kind of like the Nehemiah concept. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. I got to get focused on helping him do the best that he can, build some walls up so that he can have a good start to life, so that we don't have history repeat itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times when you have your kids who are saying, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Okay, thank you for your opinion. Now I got to get back to parenting. And, you know, I just think you got to find out what he needs and how to move forward that way. And eventually, Donna, I'm not saying that you can never talk to your kids again. I'm just saying there needs to be a different conversation than what's been going on. But Jim or Jill, do you have any last thoughts before we go?
And I would say get a coach on this who can help you even form words how you'd communicate with your kids, because you don't want to have a broken relationship with your kids. And yet, you know, this isn't something that just happened overnight. And so if somebody could coach you even with the way you could communicate to them. But, you know, when Becky says take care of that grandson right now, God has given you custody through the court. So your job is to make it a safe spot for him and help him launch him quite possibly into a different life with a different trajectory in a positive way. You can bring hope to that. But that's not even going to help if you're in, you know, constant, you know, bickering with your kids either. So get a coach. Have a coach help you think through that, or a counselor. And I call sometimes coaches and counselors the same, because they can give you the words. They can give you they go through this all the time. They can give you some help through that process. So don't do it alone.
Yeah, I agree. I'm so glad you called, Donna. You are doing a good work. It's hard. Doesn't mean, you know, good work doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it certainly is a noble thing that you are doing. You're giving this boy a good hope at a future. But, you know, we're just so grateful that you called today. We're grateful for all of you who are listening. And if you're on hold, please hold on, because we're going to get right to you after the end of this show. But, you know, New Life is here to help you in so many ways. We've got workshops, we've got counselors, we've got coaches, we've got books. You know, everybody struggles from time to time, and we know, we've heard the stories, and you're not without hope, and we can get you connected to the next right step for your life. If you're struggling in some way, please reach out. It could be the best phone call you ever make. Thanks, Jill. Thanks, Jim. And thank you, callers and listeners. We're so glad you're here. And hold on, because we're going to be right back after the break, but stay tuned to New Life. It will make a difference in every part of your life. We're grateful that you're here.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.